It's now my privilege to welcome the second speaker of the day, and that is Mr. Kanak Gupta. He's the group director of SETH MR Jaipuria Schools, which is running 37 schools from nursery to 12th pan-India with 30,000 students and 2,000 plus educators associated with the group, primary at tier 2 and 3 tier cities. Kanak is an educator with 16 years of experience working in India, UK and Germany. He works with leading media networks as consultant and television panelist. He's also the co-founder of Theatreshia, the most prolific English theatre group in India, and co-trustee of WeLog Charitable Trust, involved with pollution issues, police reforms and protection laws. Kanak has been awarded by the Young Creative Entrepreneurs by British Council in India, Indian Educator of the Year by Achievers Forum, and is recognized as one of the 40 under 40 educators in India, among other awards. His session is how learning experience can be beyond curriculum. Please join me in welcoming the enthusiastic educator, entrepreneur with a difference, and lover of arts, Mr. Kanak Gupta. Welcome, sir. The stage is all yours.
Thank you so much for the very warm welcome. I really enjoyed the discussion yesterday, and you did a fabulous job. I was hearing a bit. I have a very choppy network. I really do apologize for that. I've had to travel. I was just telling the team, I've had to travel to Gorakhpur for some work, and I'll try to do the best what I can. And I did prepare, I generally don't, but you know, I did prepare a presentation today just to sort of give you a visual glimpse of the kind of things. I hope it's loading. But, I really, really wanted to share with everyone regarding, a few things regarding education and experience, because we always talk about content. We always talk about as to how we can empower our students, but we never ever talk about a very small thing, which is creating an experience for the children that they'll remember forever. And I think that as an educator is very, very important. But before I do that, let me talk to you about something very, very simple. And I have a very small suggestion, request, recommendation to everyone: have breakfast every day. That's all, everything else is secondary, but that's all I want to tell you. Just have breakfast every single day. You know, the long-term benefits of having breakfast have been proven by scientists, and the rest of my advice is just going to be random thoughts that I have gathered over the years traveling the world and it has a lot of advantages. So let me sell it to you guys as to why having breakfast is important. You know, you eat breakfast and you think and perform better. Why? Because you know you're breaking your fast. You get an early start to the day. Think about it. 7 o'clock in the morning, you are done with breakfast. Your stomach is full and you've gotten an early start to the day. You're going ahead. You get in the big thoughts. You're not thinking about, oh, you know what? I need to finish some Excel sheet, or I need to finish the teacher's register, etc. You set your priorities right. Food is the number one priority with all of us. You get to connect with your loved ones. All of us who are in the education field, make no mistake, we are all very, very occupied. And even middle of the night, we're thinking about the kind of tasks that lay ahead of us. And at some point, the families do get disturbed. So it gives us a chance, a time to connect with our families as well. You brush up on your culinary skills. Hey, you never know who's going to make it. Maybe Charles is going to be on the next MasterChef India and be the MasterChef. You never know. You brush up on your culinary skills. You ease the pace of your day. And most importantly, you have a sense of completion something. It's like a check, done. And then you get calm. You're not running around. So, ladies, that's the only advice I have for you today. Breakfast every day. The other is, like I said, I have nothing about this journey about 7-8 years ago, when we said, you know, the school of ours is now and recognized from schools, and we said, you know, sustainable K-12 schools by 2025 through providing access to quality education. That was sort of a mission vision statement that we went ahead with. And that's what we've been doing. But we realized that as we went from city, from we set up three schools and more are coming up as we speak, we realized that India as a country changes every 100 kilometers. India as a country is so diverse, it's so diverging. India as a country sees that tier 2, tier 3, the small cities of the country have so much of aspiration kids have, so much of enthusiasm that kids have, unbelievable as to what it is. And then we realize that we don't have a solution for everything. We've been experimenting with things. We've been doing so many innovative things. And then we realize that, you know, the development of great nations happen when you nurture the students at the grassroots levels. When you look at it, that every child, irrespective she or he is at a small town, village, or such a city or Gurgaon, has access to very high. But we've been, and then everything changed. Everything changed when on 19th of March, we were told that there's going to be a Janta curfew. And after that, on 23rd, we were all, or 22nd was it, when we went into lockdown. Ever since then, we've pretty much been living that. And we've all done a lot of things. And we all said that, you know, we've cracked it. Now, using technology, we've cracked it. There's going to be hybrid learning, and we've cracked it. What we've done, essentially, is we've tried to replicate the classroom experience using a technological tool. Now look, online or offline, you gotta give kids a line. That's the most important thing. But you need to create experience, because research would indicate that kids are losing out on numerical skills, on language. And you need to create experiences for kids, because it's not their fault that the pandemic is there. And it's not their fault that today there is COVID, tomorrow there's going to be a COVID, the day after there's going to be a COVID. It's a hybrid world that we are going forward to, looking forward to. So we need to be ready with that. And when I say hybrid, I don't essentially mean what happens in a lot of schools. Yes, Charles, switch on your microphone. No, Vatsala, switch off your camera. What are you doing? That is not what we are looking at. We are looking at engaging children. We are looking at providing experiences to them. We are looking at ensuring that they are engaged in a manner that it enhances their learning, it creates value, it adds value, and they'll be able to utilize it for the rest of their lives. That is what we are looking at doing. We are not looking at simply telling everyone that, hey, you know what, this is how you use a Google Meet, or this is how you use a Zoom. That's not what you're looking at doing. So a hybrid world, essentially, as to where I see that you'd be able to use the best of technology with the best of pedagogical tools in the real world, or as it used to be pre-COVID times, and merge the two. There has to be a good marriage. You cannot just run with one idea saying that, oh, technology is all great, or say, oh, technology is the villain. It is not true. Now, it's not my fault that I wasn't around when Google and Amazon were selling out their shares and I was not buying them. I should have bought them. I would have been a very rich man today. But it is my fault if I don't utilize their services better. So instead of shunning it away, I would welcome all educators to let us change our minds and say, you know what, the children of today, for them, it is hygiene factor. The children of today, they are living this life, not just with the pandemic, but with the technology. They have Alexa and Google all around them. Let them use it for the best. It's important that we understand that. So to create a good, solid experience in the classroom, be it on the laptop or be it in person in the brick and mortar system, what you need to do is focus on creating more innovation. What you need to do is look at creativity beyond doing the obvious. Don't just say it, experience it. Don't just theoretically talk about flipped classrooms. Let's do it. Let's not just talk about that we're going to teach with case studies. You know what? Bring in the real world case studies into your classroom. ask yourselves this question today. Have we locked learning, or have we been given an opportunity to unlock innovation? It's important to know that, because innovation should not be an event. To all the educators who are part of this, you know, we've been discussing the NEP for a very long time, the New Education Policy 2020. We've been discussing this for a very long time. And it talks about mandatory upskilling of teachers. You know what? Don't just make it an event. That's the starting point of reforms. Make it a habit. When you make innovation a habit, when you make creativity a habit, when you encourage asking of questions, when you look at the child being at the center of the teaching learning process, everything else starts falling in place. And then you'll be able to create experiences beyond content. You'll be able to create experiences beyond examination, tests, etc. That will impact lifelong learning, lifelong development and growth of the children. So I look at it as an interrelated phase, which has one target of experience. You have content, which is essentially, you know, your lesson plans, your assessment assignments that you give. You have the connectedness, where you connect with the students. It doesn't matter if you're connecting with them using technology, and it doesn't matter if you're using technology within a brick and mortar space. So many schools, so many offices are now using software for connecting on meetings, sitting in the same rooms. It's important because it adds to the collaboration. Show some compassion. Have conversations. Discuss, because that the empathy element is what's going to take us forward. Stay calm. Keep everything clean. Also, you know, we talk a lot about addition, and we talk a lot about keeping our hands clean and washing it over and over again. So yes, all of this being an interrelated phase, which leads to creating an awesome experience for all our stakeholders, be it the child, be it their parents, be it their teachers. It's important to look at every stakeholder separately. Somewhere we found that teachers have been the standout champions over the last 2 years. We talk about it now, many people say that they are COVID heroes as much as anyone else. Somewhere we've also forgotten that teachers have been the standout champions over the last God knows how many centuries, shaping the world, ensuring that students need to be applauded, also need to be upskilled. Because you and I grew up in an atmosphere where we did not have so many tools available to us. You and I definitely did not face Spanish flu. I was not around for it. And I don't know if that experience can be replicated now, given the progress that we have made as a society, as a globe, where the world has come together. So we've not had that exposure. So for us, it's important to give that exposure to our teachers. So in order to create an experience, focus on empowering all stakeholders. Make innovation a habit. So it's important to creating experiences a habit. How do you do that as an educator? So here are some of the tips that I'll give to all of y'all. The first one I have is focus on the quality of teaching learning. Pedagogy is very important. It's important that you add value in terms of the modern world. Don't just focus on repeating history. You know, the previous speaker was talking about, we still talk about British history. That's correct. You know, I joke about it, and I've been quoted, misquoted many times that, you know, I said somewhere that history for us ended in 1947. After that, India became free. And after that, there is no creation of history. It's been close to 75 years. And we've still not talked about what happened post 1947. It's important to concentrate on those things. It's important to engage the children. It's important to engage the teachers so that they also can look at innovative practices in the classroom. They get excited about it. It's important to focus on the quality of the teaching learning. Don't just deliver lessons in the classroom. Engage the children. Create a community of learning. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of socialization. Socialization is what's going to lead to a lot of good things in the future. I was telling Shrikant Dattar a few years ago at a conference. Shrikant Dattar, for our audience, might know He's the guy who wrote the book Thinking MPH. The professor based at the US, he teaches at Harvard. And he talked about rethinking the MBA. And we talked about to how you don't learn from the teachers, you don't learn from your parents as much as you learn from your peers. Your peer-to-peer learning is what's going to absolutely shape your life. It's going to enhance your skills forever because there is relatability. You'll be able to understand each other's empathy, right? Like, so because everyone's in similar kind of a background. So that's where we talk about that, you know, essentially to create experiences in the classroom and beyond, you need to focus on communities. Peer-to-peer learning is what we're talking about. So educators in your schools, in your colleges, in your centers, in your academies, please do create communities of learning, because you will see that students, your teachers, when you have a tag team, you'll be able to get more out of them and get them to achieve what they truly want to achieve. You know, it's I always think about every organization being like a sports team where you tag each other, you partner with each other, and you progress better because you gain out of the energy of each other. You gain out of the positivity of each other. I think all of that is very important. An inclusive environment with a global outlook, because the globe has become really, really small. You know, we do at Jaipuria, we do a lot of workshops and we do a lot of projects for kids, and we talk about interdisciplinary approaches. Now, what we've done, and this is something very exciting, right? Like, so we took Harry Potter and we said that we're going to take Harry Potter, the kids are going to read Harry Potter, and then we integrated projects with geography, with mathematics, with physics, and it was so exciting for the and then it was in 2019 when the kids said that, can we have our friends from a kid sitting in Lucknow said that, can I have my friends in Patna be a part of my team? We said, hey, why not? So we went into the hybrid learning part of it in 2019, and it was very exciting. And at that time, it was, now it sounds so dumb, but you know, at that time we would have kids come to the conference room and we switch on Skype and everyone would be like, okay, sit straight and microphone manners and camera manners. Now it looks, sounds so dumb, but like at that time we were doing that just 2.5 years ago. And then we talked about a global outlook, and then we started collaborating with schools in the UK, in New Zealand, and it was very exciting for the children as well. And it was an inclusive environment where we did not talk about that, hey, only the class topper or someone with a certain kind of grades would have access to that education or that project or that particular experience. Everyone would get access to it. So an inclusive environment, that's very important for you to create your experience. Openness and challenge. Empower your students, empower your teachers to question you. I always enter a conversation with a complete determination that I am surrounded by some of the smartest people, and I am going to be the dumbest person in the room, and I'm going to ask the most number of questions. And for me, that has helped a lot, because while it is true, but it's helped me grow as a person, I feel. And I feel that when we pass on that kind of learning and that kind of empowerment to children, they know for sure that they will not discovered, right? So when you allow the children to challenge you, or when you allow, as a school leader, when you allow your teachers to challenge you, what you've done is that essentially you've outsourced the process of also research yourself, because you are learning, you are upskilling yourself, you're giving everyone a voice. There's so many people who want to have a voice and they do not have a voice. And now when we do alumni meets, I feel so happy about it when people turn around and they say that, you know what, I participated in a particular debate, I participated in a particular activity, and it gave me a chance to showcase my thoughts. What gives me even more happiness is a person, is a student who has been very successful or not been successful, turns around and says, you know what, I was not a star, I did not go to college fests, I did not go to school fests, but I had a voice at school. And that gave me confidence to go ahead in life. I did not come first, but no one ridiculed me. I did not become the head girl, but no one questioned when I made a choice to go into paleontology. So those are the kind of experiences that students would remember. And when they come back to your school as an alumnus and they talk to the students, it creates a sense of trust. And when it creates a sense of trust, it creates a sense of belonging. And when it creates a sense of belonging, you know you've done your job as an educator. Because all of us as educators, make no mistake about it, we want to reshape the country. We want to provide access to better things to the students. The last point I have is always set measurable outcomes. It's very important to talk about fancy things. It's very important to make a laundry list of hum ye karenge, hum wo karenge, and you know, and then no one does anything. So like, it's important to set measurable outcomes. And we as school leaders, as educators, as even corporates, you know, the mistake we make is when we set measurable outcomes, we are the ones who are setting the targets. You will sell these many books. You will teach these many number of hours. Do we ever sit down and have a one-to-one feedback with the teacher? Do we sit down one-to-one and mentor the child and ask them what their requirement is? If we are doing it, please continue doing it. If we are not, well, the best day to start that was 10 years ago. The second best day is today. Start doing it today. That you start talking to children that how can I make your outcomes more measurable, and what will it be that I should be measuring? Because for Kanak, it might be the appreciation that the teacher gives and Kanak feels good about it. That could be a measurable outcome as well. But for someone else, it could be that, you know, getting 100 and 100 in mathematics. Do let them do what they want to do. I think it's very important to focus on that. So conversations are happening, guys, whether we like it or not, whether we participate or not, conversations are happening. And that is where peer learning becomes very important. Attention spans have always been small. They've become even smaller. So let us focus our experiences, our world towards the digital natives, our students who are very much impacted by what's happening as a hygiene factor around them. In our schools, we need to create an environment which is focusing on creativity, innovation, globalization, entrepreneurial spirit. But most importantly, we as educators need to be stakeholder-centric. Our stakeholders, be it our parents, be it our teachers, be it the society at large, but most importantly, our children. Whatever you do, make sure that the child is at the center of the teaching learning process. Because I am trying to explain this from a broader perspective of how the consumer ecosystem works, where you have the social networks, you have the word of mouth, marketing, you have the mobile, the blogs, etc., which are impacting all of you all and all of us. And the point of the matter is that they are all interconnected. They are all one and interconnected to each other. It's important to know that all of this makes our hygiene factor in life. All of this collectively makes up our ecosystem as we go along. So make sure that you tell your stories and then let people interact and share. Because the more they share, the more good you're doing to the world. I have a very simple rule. Like I said, that, you know, I enter a room knowing that I'm the dumbest person in the room. So I listen, I select, and then I put into action. I make sure that there are measurable outcomes going forward. And I ensure that this is communicated well to everyone who is impacted. If not, I actually put it out on my social media as well, because I want to share that experience with everyone. I think that's important. It's an important responsibility for me as an educator. So we grow with spice. So make it very, very interesting. And you know, we came up with an acronym, which I feel relates a lot to the experience as an educator. We said that, you know, we have just one earth and we cannot mess this up. So we started focusing on sustainability. And we told our students that there is possibility to do everything in the world. Move ahead with integrity, collaborate a lot, and show empathy to each other. So it came up with a very, very catchy acronym, SPICE, but it has become a belief for all the 30,000 students who are studying with us. It's become a belief for all our educators that this is what we do. So everything that we do has to be linked to these values that drive us. And everything that we do is actually linked to all of these values Life skills, data sports and games, performing arts, specialized labs, everything that we do is linked to experience creation for the student. So, audience, my suggestions for the future as you go ahead and create that experience in your schools, in your classrooms, stop being stuck on the legacy effect. ऐसे ही होता था, ऐसे ही होएगा, और ये चेंज नहीं कर सकते क्योंकि 500 साल से ऐसा हो रहा है. That is what pulls us back. As you get into the preparation, just ask the W and the H questions. Focus on the what, when, why, where, by whom, and how you're going to do it. Get measurable outcomes on it and create a wow factor. Create a wow factor so that people have an experience they remember for a lifetime. It's important to do that. Keep talking. Keep broadcasting. Keep talking through every possible medium, because people want to listen to your voice. The kind of work you have done, the kind of impact you would have created in your classrooms is going to shape the country. So keep talking about it. But most importantly, educators, thank you for doing all that you do. I'm just coming back to it, and that's why I've written, do not forget your breakfast. That's only a real tip I have. Everything else I said, I don't know if it made sense or not, but yes. The only tip I can give you with confidence is to not forget your breakfast. I'm open for your questions.